morning, and welcome to our program. We've got a great lineup of guests this morning for you, and we're going to have some conversations that are pretty wide-ranging. We're going everywhere from space travel to women in aviation, and we're also going to talk with Eric Lindberg, who is one of our favorite guests. Eric, mainly because you are like Sean D. Tucker. You just are irrepressible and have all this energy, and it's all bundled up, but it's so focused, and you're into so many wonderful projects that it's hard to keep track.
Careful, you might let the genie out of the bottle, Steve.
Eric, of course, the grandson of Charles Lindbergh, but you have made a name for yourself in aviation aside from your grandfather's legacy, which you've honored with a replica or a recreated flight a number of years ago, but also with now with Vertigo Aviation, with the Lindbergh Foundation, and now you've ventured into podcasting.
My true claim to fame. You know, flying across the Atlantic for me and was walking in my grandfather's footsteps.
Yeah.
It was a difficult journey for me to embrace that heritage because it's so powerful, but it enabled me to leverage it also. And really, with it, focus on the future of spaceflight. And we did that with the XPRIZE Foundation. We laid the seeds, the foundation, if you will, for the private spaceflight industry. And we're seeing that now with Virgin Galactic and,
right.
and Elon Musk and SpaceX and Blue Origin. They want your money to buy tickets to fly into space. So we mission accomplished.
Right.
And to be a part of a small team of people that changed the way the world thinks about spaceflight was incredibly empowering. I'm not really a rocket scientist, so I set my sights back on aviation and went, okay, what are the threats we facing? Where do we need to go in the next 10 years? And I saw electric propulsion and went,
right.
oh. And I saw it here at AirVenture, of course, because yep. it's all experimental, crazy stuff. And so finally, we're starting to see that industry mature now with distributed electric propulsion.
Right.
Hence my company, Vertigo Aero. We're building hybrid electric power plants to revolutionize flying cars, if you will, or urban air mobility.
Right. So as you moved into that, the technology, just like all technology, has been advancing so rapidly. How do you just keep ahead of where the leading edge is?
That's a really good question because, I mean, this is the most exciting time I've ever seen in aviation. We see designs looking really crazy because you can now put thrust just about anywhere you want on an airframe, and it changes it. We've had, you know, sort of tube and wings and empennage for 100 years, and now we're seeing crazy configurations of aircraft. So how do you stay ahead? You kind of have to look out in front and take a risk. It's risky, like my grandfather in flying across the Atlantic,
right.
or we did with XPRIZE, but it's also tremendously exciting.
So you mentioned the difference between flying cars and urban
air mobility.
Yeah. So I understand from listening to another interview that it's easier for the general public to understand flying cars than urban mobility. But tell us what that term really means.
Yeah, you know, aviation is lousy with acronyms.
Right.
So for the flying or the non-flying public, I use flying car, quote unquote. It's not really a car. It doesn't have anything to do with roads. It's electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. That's what distributed electric propulsion enables. So it'll give us the ability to take off vertically, maybe out of our backyard or our neighborhood vertiport, mm-hmm. translate 25 miles across water or terrible traffic jams,
right.
which everybody hates, land, take the final mile in an Uber or a Lyft, and get there, you know, in a fraction of the time using the third dimension. That's what this is all about. Short distance, enabling short distance aviation like we've never quite been able to do.
Right.
Helicopters work.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing it, but they're loud, they're expensive, and there's lots of, you know, reasons why they haven't scaled to where everybody can fly in.
Right. So what do you see as the timeline for the flying prototype of this sort of thing?
I think, you know, everybody kind of agrees that, you know, we may be around 5 years before we start seeing commercial flights. Of course, Opener is flying these things now. They got the Black Fly over
right.
In the Innovation Center. So we're seeing the experimentals coming on now. It's going to take a while for a commercial flight. So 5 years. But we have infrastructure and regulations.
Right.
How are we going to manage all these aircraft? And so there's a lot of barriers to do. My company is working on the hybrid electric propulsion systems, We just did a deal with Continental Aerospace Technologies, their new name, to use their diesel, Jet A burning diesel cycle engines in our hybrid system. So available fuel, cheaper than a turbine, right. Safe, scalable. Very exciting.
Good. And one of the points you did bring up was not necessarily regulation, but how do we keep the skies from being congested with drones, with other types of vehicles that are coming on? And it's really, it's going to have to be a multi-faceted approach to doing this. It's not just the FAA that's going to do it. It's going to have to be the industry and all of us together.
Sure. And I think, you know, a new acronym is surfacing, not just UAM or urban air mobility, but rural air mobility. And I think this is going to change the way we move around short distance and maybe medium distance aviation. Whether it starts in the cities flying over masses of people or over water or in foreign countries with who really need this transportation ability and have the political will to make it happen is a good question. I think we're starting to see more people going, oh, rural air mobility might be a leading a leading area that sort of starts it.
Okay. You're here at Oshkosh, of course, to see what's new and to catch up with old friends and enjoy the show. But also, you had an innovation forum that took place yesterday, I believe, right?
Tuesday. Yeah. The Lindbergh Innovation Forum. These are leading edge talks on a wide variety of topics in aviation, from supersonic to hypersonic technologies, AI in aviation. You know, we know AI is coming. We've got it in some of our phones. How does that apply to aviation? So just fascinating leading-edge talks. This is our fourth one. We've been doing Aero Friedrichshafen. We did AIAA in San Diego. And the Lindbergh Foundation is kicking off the Lindbergh 100th campaign. So in 2027, just 7.5 years from now, be the 100th anniversary of my grandfather's flight that shifted the world's perspective about what aviation could do. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? How are we going to make sure that aviation is there for our kids so that they have the freedom to fly around that we know today? And so as a nonprofit, we're focusing on decarbonizing flight. How do we put out less carbon? How do we put out less noise? I love aircraft noise. I look up when I hear a round engine or a jet flying over us right now. But if we're going to retain our infrastructure, if we're going to have airports that we're able to fly out of, and maybe even more with urban air mobility, we need to make them quieter. So we need to, So our goal with the foundation is to bring the talent in, the STEM education through the Lindbergh STEM Challenge. We've got an education program to help that next generation create the quieter flight so that we don't lose our airports because people move in and complain about the noise, so that we can use the third dimension to fly in. And that's an ideal place for a nonprofit in aviation to help alleviate those threats to our avocation, our salvation. If you're an aviator, I mean,
it's your passion.
You get it. Yeah.
We're talking with Eric Lindbergh and with the Lindbergh Foundation. Also, you and your wife, Lynn, have just recently expanded out into the world of podcasting. And I listened to a couple of the podcasts, and I don't know how to categorize it because the topics are so varied, but so interesting. Where have you found all these guests?
So, you know, I guess like my grandfather, I'm lucky in that I get in certain doors and I'm exposed to people who are brilliant and amazing. And what my wife Lynn and I discovered is that we're living second chances. I had rheumatoid arthritis. I was disabled. I came back from that. I have another chance at life. And all these people, from astronaut Steve Smith to Sally Lee, are go-go boots and Secret Service agents that she trained as a flight attendant.
Right.
All these people have had second chances, and how you navigate through those challenges in your life sort of determines where you go. So we all face them, but it helps to hear those stories so that you can go, oh, I can do this. I can go there. And most people won't go back. They want to have those experiences, even though they're hard, because they change their life in a better way.
That's right. And if someone would like to subscribe to your podcast, how can they do that?
go to thelindbergs.com, thelindbergs.com, and hit subscribe, and make sure to give us 5-star rating.
All right. And And if you think Eric has a lot of energy, Lynn has energy and some great sense of humor as well.
She's my secret weapon.
She will enjoy that podcast. Eric, I appreciate you taking time to be with us today as we listen to the jet noise here on the stand. I'm Steve Bush. This is EAA Radio.